Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 16 as our scripture reading today. And following the reading of scripture, we'll sing together the Gloria Patri. Please stand for the reading of God's holy word. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness is value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And God will add His blessing to this reading of His Word. Amen. We have a great occasion in worship today with the ordination and installation of Ryan Heaton as an elder in this church. And what I'm going to preach in this sermon is, in a sense, directed primarily at him. So, Ryan, pay attention. Listen. And no doubt there's going to be some overlap between what I say and what Joe Engel will say later when he gives a specific charge to the elder. But even though what's in this passage is perhaps most specifically directed to pastors and elders and deacons as well, I don't want you all to sort of check out while I go through this passage or some of the points of this passage. Because there are principles in here that all of you can gain edification from and benefit from. Because even though the principles of godliness are to be exemplified by those in office in the church, there are principles that everyone should apply to their lives. And so as you listen to these things, don't think, well, that has nothing to do with me. Just think about, well, this has something to do with you, but in a little different arena than it does with Ryan and the other elders and officers of the church. But I want to talk today, this morning, about the marching orders for the elder, the principles that should guide their life and their service to the Lord in the church. And it's not exhaustive, but there are some key things that are in this passage that are significant. And the first thing that I want to bring up, though, is what is the goal of the service that an elder would do, or an officer would do, a pastor would do, or a deacon would do? What's the goal that he's after in his service? Knowing the direction, knowing where we're headed can help us keep going, especially when we get discouraged. We know we're on the right track, or we're pursuing the right goals, we're heading in the right direction. It's helpful to that. Paul, in encouraging himself as well as other believers in Philippians 3, talks about that. He says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus had taken hold of me. So he keeps that goal in his mind while he's dealing with not only his own struggles, but the struggles of the church. Well, what is one of the goals that Paul puts before Timothy here in this case that he's pursuing? It's in verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. A goal for an officer in the church is to be a good minister. Now, here the word minister isn't so much a specific word for pastor or shepherd or elder even. It's a more general word, and it's fine to translate it minister, but it's a more general word for service. If you are faithful, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ. And the goal that we have as elders and deacons, as myself as a pastor, is to be do well in the work of serving the Lord. But it's interesting, he adds that little qualifier in there. You'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Who is it that you are to please above all else? I have an issue of being a people pleaser. Now, there's a good thing. There's a positive thing about that. I hopefully, in the right way, take people's concerns seriously. But it can be bad when I tremble before people's opinions. The most important person that you need to please is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's true for all of you. Is Christ the most important person that you live before? Doesn't matter if your friends don't like it. Doesn't matter if others don't like what you're doing. If you're pleasing Christ, then you're doing the right thing. And his goal, Timothy's goal, Ryan's goal, our goal is to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. Not this church, not even your fellow elders, but a good servant of Jesus Christ. If you look at 2 Timothy, turn there for just a moment, 2 Timothy 2:15 follows along with this thought. He tells Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's pleasing God that is our top priority, honoring Him to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So come back to 1 Timothy 4. The second goal at the very end of the section that I read in verse 16, where it says, take heed to yourself and to your doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, you will both save yourself and those who hear you. Now, we know that we don't save anyone, that it's God that saves people. But at the same time, what this presents to, in a sense, particularly to all the officers in this church, what is a goal that God wants us to be doing, to have in our service? It's that people would come to know the Lord and they would grow in their knowledge of Him. God intends to make you an instrument of His grace. And that applies to all of you. God intends to make each of you an instrument of His grace in the lives of those around you. On a personal level, you need to have experienced that grace yourself. On a ministry level, that's what your goal is for the people that you serve. You want them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You want them to know and experience God's saving grace. And if you faithfully serve, God will use you in that way. Extremely important. You're interested in the message being preached to the saving of souls. Well, how do you accomplish that? There's a lot more in this passage I'm kind of skipping over, but what are the tools? What must you do so that these two goals can be accomplished? Well, they're in verse 6, two of them are in verse 16. The first, it says, Paul says, is take heed to yourself. You have to be careful about your own soul. You have to be careful about yourself. It's something that's easily neglected. You know, you get busy at work. You get busy at activities. You get busy in life. And this is true for all of us. It's very easy to neglect the nurture of our own soul. And Paul tells Timothy, you must first take heed to yourself. That's not a selfish preoccupation. What that is how is your soul? Are you in a state of grace? Do you know the Lord? Do you know God? Have you experienced repentance and faith? That's a question for everyone. Do you know the Lord? But then secondly, how is your growth in grace? You're not saved to sit on a stump and do nothing. When God redeemed you and set you apart to be His own child, He intends for you to live for Him, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He intends you to be growing in grace, and you have to work at that. In the verses just before what we read, in beginning at verse 6 and verse 7, 1 Timothy 4:7, he says, reject profane and old wives' tales and exercise yourself toward godliness. The pursuit of the Christian life is it doesn't come just automatically. If you are going to make progress in your Christian life, you have to pursue it. You have to exercise it. There's many people who they will go to the gym every day and they will spend hours in exercise and they will exercise their bodies and discipline their bodies, and they will have no regard for the nature of their own souls. And Paul says you have to pursue godliness. You have to grow in grace. It has to be something that you take seriously in your life. It's not going to come automatically or easily. But not only you have to take heed to yourself, you have to be sure you're in a state of grace, and you have to be sure you're growing in grace. You also need to make sure that you're manifesting the reality of that grace. Do other people know that you're a Christian? Do other people see God at work in your life? Do other people see you following the Lord in the way you conduct yourself, in your relationships with people, and in the way you speak and the activities you get involved in? Do people see in the demonstration of grace in your life? It's extremely important. It's important for all of you. Especially important for an elder or a deacon or a pastor. Do people see the life of Christ in us? The qualifications given of the elder, particularly in chapter 3, you can see as you scan the list how evident Christian living, how evident grace needs to be. Not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, a good reputation with outsiders, not quick-tempered, respectable, a husband of one wife, managing well his household. The evidence of grace in you needs to be part of your example. And the bottom line is, do people, when they look at you, do they see Christ in you? Can they even tell you're a Christian? And I don't mean you have to stand up and preach a sermon. That's not it. It's living in a godly way with godly priorities, godly principles at work in your life. The second thing there in verse 16 is, second, take heed to your doctrine. Now, you can say this is more particularly for officers. They absolutely are required to do this. They have to guard the teaching of the church to be sure that it's in accordance with the Word of God. But even here, but all of you in your personal lives can see application to yourself in verse 6, after telling Timothy, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And then he says, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you've carefully followed. We have to take heed to our doctrine, to what we believe. We need to be nourished. We have to be nourished in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine which we have carefully followed. Are we growing in our understanding of the Bible? In our understanding of the Word? The annual encouragement Tommy gives us to read through the Scripture every year is a great tool to growing in our understanding of Scripture. We need to be reading it, studying it, putting it into our hearts, putting it into our minds, and understanding that truth and applying it to our lives. The Bible's a necessity for us understanding the faith, and it's absolutely critical for our sanctification, for our growing in godliness. And so the second thing you have to take heed to is your doctrine. But the third thing that comes up in that verse 16, after saying, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, it says, continue or persevere in them. And this is where it gets hard for, and not just elders and deacons, but for all of us, persevering. I don't really need to tell you that this world can be a very challenging place to live in. It can be very difficult with some of the temptations that come our way. It can be very difficult with some of the challenges, whether it's in our workplace or in our extended families. It can be very difficult to keep going. But the exhortation for us is don't give up. Keep persevering. Continue in these things. Continue in your pursuit of grace. Continue in your pursuit of the knowledge of the Word of God and its application to your life. Persevere in these things. The Christian life is one of those things that there maybe have been a few people who thought, well, I'll just try Christianity. Well, you never just try Christianity. Because if you try it and you're not really a Christian, forget it. You're out the door the first Sunday. But when God has grabbed a hold of your life, He's put you on a path that's going to be full of challenges. But the thing that He's promised is that He would never leave you and never forsake you. That He would be with you always, even to the end of the age. That He's put you among a covenant people who are in the same way struggling. And they want to help you stay on the path of obedience. Just as they need your help to stay on the path of obedience. And so the exhortation is, you got to keep persevering in these things. No one becomes fully sanctified ever in this life, but never grows in sanctification automatically. It takes time. It takes a lifetime. Don't give up. Persevere. Ryan has the great privilege and as well as fearful calling to enter the office of elder today. It's a great privilege to serve the Lord in this way. A great responsibility. But each of you have a great privilege. If you know the Lord, that is it's a great privilege to be able to say, I am a child of God. That is a great, great, wonderful blessing. And it's a awesome responsibility. Many a parent tells a child when they're leaving the house, remember who you belong to. Well, that's your Heavenly Father is saying to you, as you leave this place, remember who you belong to. So being a child of God is a wonderful blessing, and it's an awesome responsibility. And you, all of us have been given that great privilege. And my encouragement to Ryan, my encouragement to all of you is follow the Lord in faith and see the blessedness that He can provide you in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the calling of men to serve You. Thank You for setting Ryan apart to be not only Your child, but also to serve You in this role, particularly in this church. We're grateful for that. Lord, thank You for the blessing You've given to each of us that know You, that we are Your child, and we have the great privilege to live as Your children in this world with Your strength and Your comfort being present with us. May You, O Lord, bless us as we live our lives in the coming week to live them in a way that would bring honor and glory to You, and that You would be glorified in all things in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.